Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Cold Hard Truth podcast. I'm Jack Smith.
I'm Shrikar Rajendran.
And I'm Anish Gupta.
And it's the 2020 NFL season.
It Let's go. Come soon
enough, one here it is. More day, bro.
Sorry, yeah, we're
tomorrow, man. I had to, man.
Actually, we're you're going to be seeing this on Thursday. So tonight.
Tonight.
Tonight, basically.
We got
tomorrow.
But so, yeah.
Wait, quick note, guys. I just wanted to say, like, it started, bro. Like,
I'm sorry. Here, bro.
I saw a speech by Jarvis Landry, and he just wanted me to run through. Like, I could have ran through a brick wall with him speaking, bro. He got me so hyped. So, obviously, you know what we've been doing over the offseason, but now it's started, guys.
This is going to be one of the strangest seasons we've seen in years.
Most definitely.
Probably ever, you know. It's going to be crazy, man. Tom Brady in a New Jersey, just all the storylines heading into this year with every
and we had to wait.
It's going to be insane.
And it just felt like it took so long. It was the longest
wait.
I mean,
think about it. Last time we saw football, COVID wasn't a thing. I mean, really? Oh, my God.
Fans in the stadiums, like.
People doubting Patrick Mahomes. It's crazy.
Yeah. People doubting.
Okay. This 7-month stretch, and we finally get it back. You guys know how excited us three are, but I'm sure you guys are too if you're watching this.
Yeah, so obviously this is going to be a weekly segment we do. We're going to pick every game of the week. We're going to keep running totals of our records last year. Me and Anish did pretty well.
Let's just say it was a pretty bad year.
Shut up. Let's move on.
Yeah. Improvement this year, we're sure. We've had a little friendly competition going on throughout the entire year. We're going to be keeping our records, as well as on our Instagram, we're giving you guys a chance to vote on each game and find the fan records for the end of the season. A majority pick is going to be your guys' pick, and we see how you guys do for the entire season.
Exactly.
But for this series, timestamps will be in the description, so if you can only watch for a little bit, you go find what your team is playing. We see what we kind of got them going. We'll put them in the description. But we're starting it off. You guys will be seeing this tonight. It's tonight's game, Houston versus Kansas City. Who wants to start us off?
I'll go. I mean,
yep.
It's go the ahead. First game of the 2020 season. This one, we're going to see a rematch of the divisional round. If you remember how that game went, a 24-point comeback by the Chiefs, then I don't think you should be surprised by what I think the outcome of this one's going to be. When you look at the teams, they went in completely different directions this offseason. The Chiefs found even more ways to get better. You get some interesting pieces on offense. You retain your top assets on defense, including Chris Jones, and you've still got Patrick Mahomes under center for the next 10 years. Meanwhile, the Texans trading DeAndre Hopkins, arguably their best player, and making a bunch of other questionable moves. Here's the thing I'll say, though. We cannot completely count out the Texans in this one. You know, especially with Deshaun Watson at quarterback. However, I don't think their defense has enough talent to slow down Mahomes and all the weapons he has. And that's leading me to believe that this one may be a blowout. This one will probably be over before the fourth quarter even starts. So I think Kansas City, they're going to start their championship defense with a bang, crushing Houston and getting
Houston.
The dub in week one.
Okay, see, again, you got to stop making these huge, bold – I mean, you know, the spread is -9.5 Kansas City. Look, if I'm a better, I would probably take – I mean, dude, not -9.5 on an opening –
So taking
with,
the Chiefs in general
no
is a bold
preseason
pick?
With, you're taking the Chiefs -9.5.
I never said that. I said it could be a blowout.
Okay. Well, here's what I'm saying. Since it's opening day, I expect a little bit of rust. And again – there's no preseason. There's none of that. Like, think about that. You're going into a full-fledged game, and you know every week matters. No matter what happens, their record, it'll show a win or a loss. So you can't say, oh, week one is a warm-up game. In the NFL, every game matters. So I'm just going to say right off the bat, I got the Chiefs as well. Again, I just trust their experience. This Texans team is going to be a little bit different, especially on offense, right, with David Johnson and Brandon Cooks in the fold. How is it going to work? And I think, how is Deshaun Watson going to adapt to that? Obviously, we know what happened in the playoff game, as Shrikar mentioned. I had Texans, and they blew it for me. So I'm still kind of salty about that. But this defense, the Texans defense, is still pretty good. But when you're playing Patrick Mahomes, it's a different ballgame. So, and Patrick Mahomes has always had a hot start these past 2 years, so I expect him to get it a little bit rolling. But yeah, I got the Chiefs. I wouldn't say – I don't know if they'll win by 10. But again, I expect a little bit of rust going into this game.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a sweep for us. I've also got the Chiefs. But it's not. That's not to say that the Texans do not have a chance in this game. They've got a chance in most games this year with Deshaun Watson under center, as we've said. But this team's still good. I remember we did an episode on them, and they're still underrated, I think. But so they've got a chance. Deshaun Watson has a chance to make a game out of anything. But I think that in this game, Kansas City will prove just to be too much. And this season particularly, coaching is extremely important. The best coached teams will do well. And I think that Kansas City is far and away the better coached team.
I wouldn't say far and better though. Andy Reid versus Bill O'Brien. Coach. He's a terrible GM, but he's a good coach.
But Andy Reid's the best coach.
He's not the best coach in the league.
He's the best offensive coach in the NFL.
Sure, I'll give you that. But what I'm saying is people, I think, are overhating Bill O'Brien. He's a good coach. Yes, he's not the best GM. But again, he's gotten this team to two straight AFC South crowns. I believe he went 9-7 the previous year that they didn't win it. So he's done pretty well for them. Let's see how this game goes. But yeah, I think it's a sweep here.
Yeah, I think that the Texans, they do have a chance. But if they do end up winning, they shouldn't get out to a 24-0 lead because, you know, we see how that goes for them.
Yeah.
But our next game is going to be Sunday morning. We've got Seattle versus the Falcons. Anyone want to touch on this game first?
I can go. Again, I know there's a couple Falcons fans watching this. Look, the Falcons are – it's hard to say with this team again. How does Todd Gurley look, right? How does the overall offense look without Hooper? That's another one. Does Hayden Hurst immediately step in? I think there's just too many questions there, and I think Seattle has retained most of their important pieces, and I think Metcalf takes a little bit of a step forward as well as Tyler Lockett with those two together. Let's see how the tight end room works for Seattle. But again, I think they're more experienced. I think they're just more intact. And I think Jamal Adams has an immediate impact. And I take Seattle over Atlanta.
I think we already know what Russell Wilson brings to the table. Are they going to let Russ cook this year? As Seattle fans would like to say. Yes, I think they do. I think they're going to rely more on him and less on the ground game this season. I don't think he's going to have any trouble putting up yards and points against the Falcons. And, you know, you have talent like Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf to throw to. I definitely think that's going to help his cause. And then there's the Seattle defense with Jamal Adams, as Anish said. I'm not ready to call him elite yet, but as the year progresses, I think they can get into that elite category. They just need a pass rush. That secondary looks good. The linebacking unit's looking good. So I think the Falcons will do their best to keep up on the scoreboard. But, look, I just don't see them making enough plays against Seattle to win. Yeah. But that's not me saying like, oh, the Falcons are going to be bad this year. It's just you're playing the Seahawks in week one. So let me take the Seahawks here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to start us off with another sweep. I've got the Seahawks. And obviously the Falcons can be a sleeper team this year. They've got some pieces that if Todd Gurley is good this year, they can be good. If Hayden Hurst goes on to his first round pick form, they can be good. But the thing is, they're a sleeper team while Seattle is a sure thing team. And I think the sure thing team comes out in week one. And I think
quick note, just wanted to say, watch out for Seattle's running game against Atlanta because they do have a decent Atlanta's good in pass coverage. So just watch. Seattle's always been the best running football team over the last 5 years. So just watch out if you guys are playing fantasy.
Yeah, I'm not sure I completely agree with the Streetcar's notion that they'll run the ball less this year. I feel like it worked for them last year. They're going to keep pounding the ball.
Exactly.
And that's the way that things get opened up for Russell Wilson. The fact that they can have the best rushing offense in the league at one point and also a top passing offense in any other game, it's lethal. And this defense is getting better, especially with the addition of Jamal Adams. So I think they could put the hurt on Atlanta this week. I could see him winning by more than 10 points. But next game, oh God, I cannot wait to hear what Anish is going to say on this one. New York versus Buffalo, the New York Jets, not the New York Giants, at Buffalo. What do you guys think?
I'll start here. I'll go ahead and say this. I think the Bills are going to blow out the Jets in week one. Look, Adam Gase is not the guy. He's not the guy to lead this Jets squad to success. And I think, look, since his time with the franchise, he's alienated all his star players. He's basically stunted the growth of all his prospects. And I don't think he basically failed to unlock the potential this team really possesses. And I think that's really all going to come to a boiling point this year. I think after this year, he's getting fired, if not by midseason. But until that happens, though, I'm not expecting much to happen that's going to be positive for the Jets. I think against this defense, I think they're going to get shut down by this Bills defense. I think Sam Darnold is going to struggle. I don't think Le'Veon Bell gets very many opportunities to get rolling. I do think Josh Allen puts on a show against this Jets secondary, which has really fallen off. The Buffalo defense, just as I said, they're going to steamroll the New York offense. And I think the Bills get an easy win to start the campaign.
Jack, I'll let you go.
No. You go.
All right, fine. I think Shrikar made some great points here. I don't think it's going to go that positive for New York either. I think Josh, again, the Bills have the better quarterback, they have the better coach, and they have the better overall roster. So as a result, I've got the Bills winning. And you know what? Maybe the Jets put up some points. But again, the Jets, you were very confident about the Jets win last year, even though it was against practice squad players. And
you said it earlier this year. You said, or sorry, earlier this episode, an NFL game is an NFL game. So
you're right.
I don't want to
see you Sunday, man.
But I'm not. But again, who do I trust more? And I do trust the Bills more. Therefore, I am going with the Bills.
I think it's funny that Sam Darnold has played the Bills three times in his career. Obviously, the fourth time he was injured. So I don't remember
he lost
Josh McCown. No, he beat the Bills. His only time he played him his rookie year. Made some amazing plays. Started off the year last year in week one, put his team in an excellent position to win, except for a couple missed field goals, which would have won them the game. And last year, yes, it was a practice squad, but he didn't get an opportunity to play against the real Bills, and he beat them then. So he really should be, with an actual kicker, 3-0 against the Bills. That being said, I am still going with the Bills because I feel like that Jets defense was a little bit better last year.
Okay.
But,
So what do you see Darnold do in this game, bud?
I've got him going for probably like 220, two touchdowns and a pick. That's my guess. I really think the Jets can win this game. It's not going to be a blowout, Shrikar. Sam Darnold has played well against the Bills in his career. I think it continues in week one. So I would not be surprised if the Jets win this game. It's probably a little bit of bias speaking, but it's also a fact. So I think Buffalo's going to win, but I'm pulling for the Jets and I think it could easily happen.
Okay. All right, bro. Sam Darnold.
It's on paper right there.
I mean, you know what? It's an NFL game. Anything can happen. Remember, unbiased 9-7.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, I've got Buffalo. I've got Buffalo. And then this is one of the harder games to pick this week. I think Shrikar's got a different pick than me and Anish on this one. Why don't you start us off on Chicago at Detroit, Shrikar?
Yeah, sure. Well, you look at last year, neither of these teams lived up to expectations, and I'm not sure either will this year, but as we get this new season going, one of them has to come away from week one with the win. So my prediction is I'm going with the Lions. So the Chicago Bears obviously have an outstanding defense that allowed them to stay competitive a season ago. That group hasn't changed much, which really should keep this club from falling apart this year. With that said, I am not overlooking a Lions team led by a hungry Matthew Stafford, and some underrated offensive
weapons. Same guy with zero playoff wins in his career. Yep.
And some underrated offensive weapons. On top of that, Detroit's defense did get better this offseason, especially with the additions of Desmond Trufant and Jeff Okuda. So that gives me a sliver of confidence in their ability to keep the Bears' offense in check. Plus, it's not like Chicago was exactly like exceptional at moving the ball and putting the points on the board a season ago. Mitch Trubisky starting won't help that. So I don't think there shouldn't be a ton of scoring, but I think the Lions find a way to get the W despite Chicago's outstanding defense. I think Kenny Golladay is going to have a good game. Stafford's going to have a good game, and that's going to prove too much for the Bears to overcome.
Okay, can I shut him down a little bit first?
Yep, I got him after two.
Don't worry. First off, Shrikar, this defense lost Devon Kennard and Darius Slay, so let's not act like they didn't. They only got better.
So Trufant and Okuda are bad.
Huh?
Not what we're saying.
Trufant and Okuda
are
bad.
That's not what we're saying. I'm saying overall they got worse.
But also it's a rookie corner in his first game against Allen Robinson.
And as much as I love Okuda, I need to see it first. And he's got a really tough assignment in Allen Robinson. So I need to see it. And second, this Bears defense got a lot better. And as much as people can hate on Mr. Trubisky, he's still experienced in the system. And week one, that is the best help. Especially in time with no preseason, no OTAs, all this stuff. I mean, really, I agree with you. Anything can happen, but I'm going with the team that is more experienced and, in my opinion, got better over the offseason. I'm going with the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, and especially you like to hate on Mitch Trubisky. Let me read something about you about Mitch Trubisky against the Lions. In his three starts, which he has won all three against the Lions under Matt Nagy, Trubisky has completed 75% of his passes for 866 yards, 9 touchdowns, 1 interception, and a 132 passer rating.
I just want to let people know 75% completion percentage is literally next to the record. So I think it might be above it. But yeah, so I'm just letting people know.
Under Matt Nagy, Trubisky has lit up the Lions, and he will. He might not light them up on Sunday, but he's going to beat them. I think he's going to go. He's going to start 4-0 against the Lions under Matt Nagy, and this Bears team's going to start off 1-0. So I've got Chicago against Detroit, or winning against Detroit, and I think that Trubisky has a good game. To be completely honest,
yeah, me too.
So then our next game, we've got another hard NFC North game to pick. It might have gotten a little bit easier, though. We just saw Danielle Hunter's
on IR. Yep. He's going to miss the first 3 weeks.
Yeah, at least. So this game, does that make it easier to pick for you guys? Who you have, Green Bay or Minnesota?
It actually makes me harder to pick because before the Hunter injury, I had the Vikings winning. But now I'm a little bit on the fence. I think in this one, I'm going to take the Packers in this one. I think I'm going to take the Packers. I was really juggling this pick. I was kind of back and forth on it. I think the Vikings, they have a more well-balanced offense, but I think on defense that Hunter injury is going to kill him. Me and Jack were texting earlier today, and he was like, he made a good point where Ngakoue still not used to the system. So losing Hunter is big. Of course, the secondary, it's pretty questionable. So I think Aaron Rodgers takes advantage of that and he gets the win.
I really, really wish you had taken the Vikings. I think with the Packers Vikings, it's iffy because I don't think the Vikings would get that same home field advantage that they would have with the Skull Nation in attendance. And also, Hunter's a big loss because these corners are all new to the Vikings. They're starting, except, I mean, Mike Hughes, Colton Hill again. They look good in camp, but haven't gotten as much time as you would like, right? Jeff Gladney as well as a rookie, so we need to see it. And this pass rush was going to definitely help them. Now it's a bit iffy. And guess what? I think they would have put Hunter on Bakhtiari, if I'm not mistaken. It depends. But I think now that he's gone, right? Or actually, they might have put him on their right tackle, and who's pretty young. I forget who their right tackle is, but Bulaga's gone. So obviously that's a big help for the right tackle. You've got to respect Aaron Rodgers as much as, you want to say his year was pretty conservative last year. You got to respect him. So I'm going to take the Green Bay Packers in this one. I just think they pull it off. Hunter was probably my deciding factor too. I could have seen a Vikings upset, but now tough to see that. I'm not going to say the Packers are going to blow them out, but I think Aaron Jones could have a good game.
Yeah, Vikings will keep it close.
But Aaron Rodgers, if you don't put pressure on Aaron Rodgers, he's just going to pick you apart.
Yeah.
Especially with a healthy Davante Adams and a team that has, a weak secondary, at least in the cornerback spot. So I think that Green Bay, I was on the fence, but I was leaning towards Green Bay, and I think the Hunter scenario and situation kind of solidified it a little bit more. So I've got Green Bay winning. This could be a close game, though. And I think that while we're talking about the passing game a lot, I feel like this could be a huge rushing game for both teams. And I think this year the Packers could look to run the ball a lot more with AJ Dillon and Jamal Williams also still there. So they've got three quality backs. And the Vikings have two quality backs in Dalvin Cook and Alexander Mattison. So this could be a big running game, but right now I can't pick against Aaron Rodgers when he's got no pressure coming. I mean, he's going to have some pressure coming out of him. It's going to be a lot less, and I'm not as
scared. Watch out for Anthony Barr, though. I mean, he's been pretty good in pass rushing.
That's true. But
you know what he did to his collarbone last time.
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers might be a little bit scared of that. But I've got the Packers winning this one, but it could be a huge running game, as I said. Mm-hmm. The next game, Anish, you want to start us off on this one? Your second favorite team in the entire league, the Miami Dolphins versus the New England Patriots. Okay.
Oh man, dude. Okay, first off, I feel like I'm high on a lot of teams, and the Dolphins are one of them. Another one we'll see later, but it's at New England. As much as I want to, I really wanted to pick them. But again, I just think Cam's been looking really good at camp, and I'm gonna go with the Patriots. I honestly, everything in my gut is like leaning towards the Dolphins, but also in my head, I'm just telling myself Bill Belichick. Because again, the opt-outs, right? Patriots don't do well in September. Everything's leaning towards the Dolphins, but again, my head is telling me don't bet against Bill Belichick, so I'm going to go with the Patriots.
Yeah, but look, don't be surprised if this one is actually closer than people think. People are
or if Miami writing... pulls it off, okay? Let's
sure,
not
yes. Like look, Ryan Fitzpatrick is always a threat to go off on Sundays. The Dolphins added quite a bit of talent on both sides of the ball via free agency. That has their stock trending upward. But I don't think it's enough to unseat a still strong Patriots squad. You still got a former MVP at quarterback, plenty of capable offensive weapons. You got an excellent defense still. But despite that, I think the Dolphins keep things interesting for all 60 minutes of this game. They'll find the end zone at least a couple of times. But it's not going to be a blowout. Come on. And as Anish said, we may even see something late game from the Dolphins in hopes of pulling off the upset. But when all is said and done, though, the Patriots get the win. And Bill Belichick gets a win without Brady.
Dang, now I got to contradict Shrikar. I've got the Patriots blowing out the Dolphins in this game. Trust me, I know.
I'm excited for you to get proven wrong here.
No, okay. Dolphins
will keep it close, man.
It's a gut feeling that I've got. I can see it right now. You see the headlines after week one saying that the Cam Newton experiment is the right one and that the Dolphins maybe aren't the team we thought they were. I can see it all right now. So,
nah, that's just your bias talking.
No, this is not bias. I hate the Patriots too.
All right, keep going.
I just see it right now. I think that the Dolphins got a lot of uncertainty. Yes, they've got new players, but it's also a lot of roster turnover, and they've got to acclimate them to this week one schedule. And no one's going to handle this better than the New England Patriots. This crazy year, no one's going to handle it better than them. So they're going to come out week one. I think Cam Newton's got a fire lit under him. He wants to prove something. He's going to prove it week one. Dolphins got blown out in week one last year. It's not going to be that bad, trust me. But I think it's a 17-point-plus win for the New England Patriots against the Dolphins this week.
Wow. Okay, you know what? I wish we could count that as a loss, but 17 points, really? Okay, all right.
I'd take the Pats by 3, probably.
3? Wow.
That's
Whoa. Okay, I don't know about that. I think it's one possession, though. I think it could be.
Nah, I don't know why. I just have that gut feeling. I can totally see it happening. The Patriots are going to blow out the Dolphins this week.
Well, when we come back, we're going to clown Jack for it.
It's okay. It's one more win in my little tally column. But now we've got Anisha's third favorite team in the NFL other than the Browns. We've got the Philadelphia Eagles versus Washington football team, my second favorite name in the entire league. Lane Johnson has come out, might not start at right tackle. For the Eagles, and they've had a lot of problems with the offensive line, which is supposed to be their strong suit. And on the opposite side, Washington's defensive line is among the strongest in the league. Did this create a problem for your pick?
No. I think overall the race for the NFC East is going to be very interesting this year. The Cowboys obviously have very high expectations. The Eagles have a lot of upside. I have them winning the division. The Washington football team, they went through some major changes this offseason, but look, there's still uncertainty with that team. And as for the Giants, they're not going to contend, but I could see them pulling off an upset or two or three. But as for this game, though, I would not be surprised if we immediately saw a clear gap between the top two teams in the division and the bottom two. That's not to say Washington can't compete on a weekly basis, but look, they simply don't offer the talent needed to topple the Eagles, even this early in the season. I'm expecting this to be a defensive battle. Both teams are going to play a physical brand of football. That's why I'm giving the clear edge to the Eagles and Carson Wentz. I don't think he's going to have any trouble outdueling Dwayne Haskins. But even with that D-line and the troubles on the O-line for Philadelphia, I think Carson Wentz should be able to pick the Washington secondary apart. I think Miles Sanders does his thing on the ground. He's my breakout player for this year. Please, please prove me right. But I'm thinking it's going to be a low-scoring game, several turnovers, some big plays on defense. In the end, though, I think Wentz's passing gets the job done and earns Philly the dub.
You know what? There could be problems on the O-line. There could be problems on the D-line. There could be problems in the secondary. There could be problems at the tight end group. There could be problems at the receiver group.
There can even be
Miles Sanders questionable, which he is. But you know what? You know who's not injured? You know who's actually on the field?
That's a surprise.
My guy, Carson Wentz. And you know what? For that reason and that reason only, I'm picking the Eagles. I don't want to hear it. literally last two times I saw him against the Red, against Washington football team.
Good save.
Yeah, sorry. Week one, obviously he tore him apart. And then towards the end of the year when they were, 5-7, needed to win four straight, my guy finds Greg Ward to win it. So I'm going with the quarterback that I trust, Carson Wentz, and the Eagles pull it out.
Yeah, I am too. I think that I like Washington football team going into this year. I think they're a little bit of a sleeper team. Don't expect them to make a playoff push or anything, but they're not as bad as people think. Mm-hmm. But I've got the Eagles in this one. There's really no question about it in my mind. Bold prediction, though, I've got Chase Young going for 1.5 sacks in his rookie debut.
Okay.
Nice. Especially with problems on the O-line.
I think he would line up against the guy who's replacing Lane Johnson. Would play against the right tackle.
And as I said, this is going to be a defensive game. It's going to be physical.
Could be.
Have you seen some of his plays in practice that they're posting? He's throwing people around down in Washington camp. Yeah. So I'm excited to see his rookie debut.
He learned it from the best at Ohio State. Just had to throw it out there.
Hey, Jack, fight on. Fight on.
Fight on. So we've got the next game. It's Las Vegas's first game. Unfortunately, they don't get to start off at home in Vegas, but they're playing Carolina at Carolina. First game in a while that the Panthers are going to play without Cam Newton on the roster anywhere. How do you think it goes for Carolina?
Anish, you want to start?
Dude, I really want to pick the Panthers here, but again, I just think there's too much turmoil. There's too much – or not turmoil. Basically, there's too much change for this team. You lose your leader on defense in Luke Kuechly. You lose your quarterback, both of them. I mean, Kyle Allen and Cam Newton. You've got a new one there. You've got a new head coach, new offensive system. As much as I think McCaffrey will do well, it's just I need to see this team get acclimated, like Jack said, to basically NFL football as a Carolina Panthers unit, right? So I just think that'll take a little bit of time. And the Raiders, while, you know what, I don't have them doing that well this year, I think they get a dub just because most of their core is intact and they got players at positions that can uplift them rather than question, how this team is going to work. Whereas the Panthers, it's like, okay, how is Bridgewater going to work? How are the linebackers going to work? How is this D-line going to work? That type of thing. But again, I think the Panthers will be fine towards the rest of the year. I just got the Raiders for this game.
Yep. The Panthers have lost so much this offseason from Luke Kuechly to, their own coach, Ron Rivera. The Panthers just, they're not in a good place right now. And sure, they've got some building blocks to work with, but just the roster as a whole, it's underwhelming. And I think there is a reason why so many people see them landing near the bottom of the standings just as I do. With that said, I'm still not sure the Raiders are ready to contend either. They looked good at times in 2019, and then they often followed up these strong performances with these just bad losses. Derek Carr, he's still the man at quarterback, and Josh Jacobs looks like a star at running
back. Hey, quick note. They've had 18 blowouts in the last couple years. I think 2 years, 18.
The Panthers?
No, the Raiders.
The Raiders, interesting.
18.
Josh Jacobs, as I was saying, he looks like a star at running back, but just something isn't right with this club, and it's like one of the toughest teams to predict this year, at least for me. I think Las Vegas gets the win in week one, but that doesn't mean they're going to be sensational this season. Because look, even with the added weapons on offense, I'm still not sure they've got the right man in charge to lead them to the playoffs. I was more confident at the beginning of the offseason, but Mariota happened and I kind of started researching more, looking into it. Derek Carr, there's so much doubt with him for me. But I guess we'll just find out as the year progresses. But for now, I'm taking the Raiders.
Yeah, I don't like either of these teams. And I was originally leaning Carolina, which is what I had in my playoff predictors thing. And I was ready to flip over if need be. But now that you guys have both gone with Las Vegas, I'm going to stick with my Carolina pick. I don't really know what it is about it. But I feel like Carolina matches up well against Las Vegas in week one. I think that McCaffrey could go off against a team who's replacing its entire linebacker core over an offseason.
Yeah.
And Carolina with a great wide receiver core now against the Raiders, who don't have a ton at corner. Damon Arnette in his first game. Yeah. I think that Carolina offense matches up very well against this Las Vegas defense. And so I feel like it could be a big game, a big high scoring game for Carolina. Maybe Las Vegas matches it. Maybe they don't. But right now I'm going to go with the Carolina pick. And
totally fine with it.
Yeah. So our next game is going to be Indianapolis, Jacksonville. What do you guys think of that one?
So the Colts and the Jaguars, it's been a rough offseason for the Jaguars. Now it's nearly over. And look, I don't see things getting much better for them during the regular season. And that'll start when they host the Colts in week one. And we've got to make our picks. So here's mine. The Colts destroy the Jaguars. It's going to be a mess from the get-go. As much as I like Minshew, I don't think he has the weapons necessary to consistently win this season. Really, the only one I can think of is DJ Chark. And on top of that, the Jaguars have lost too much talent on defense to keep Phillip Rivers and the Colts offense in check. So I think Phillip Rivers is going to go off. I think the whole Colts offense is going to kill the Jaguars. And before all is said and done, the Colts asserting their dominance, they've given people reason to believe that they can compete with the Titans for the division crown this year.
Yeah, I got nothing much else to say, except I think Josh Allen will still get maybe a sack or two in that game. So but again, the running game, Jonathan Taylor, Marlon Mack, honestly, you could start both in fantasy. I think those two will do well. Just again, not much to look forward to for Jacksonville fans. This is the most obvious rebuild I think I've ever seen. So yeah, I got the Colts in this one.
Yeah, I think that it's not even really a rebuild. It's like they're just scrapping their entire team. Yeah. And it looks like on purpose. Like they're not trying to hide that they're tanking. And I think that you mentioned the running game. I think you could see 175 plus on the ground this week for the Colts. I think that the combination of their top of the league offensive line compared with, you know, what the Jaguars have at defensive line, not including the outside linebackers. The pass rush is good, but their interior D linemen are maybe the worst in the league. That was one of the things that I feel like Tyler and
Mason
mentioned in our Jaguars episode, is they hated the interior D line, and it's going to get exposed this first week against,
especially up the middle.
Exactly. Especially with Quentin Nelson, you know, having nobodies on him. So I think that the Colts are going to pound the ball down the Jaguars throughout the entire game. And yeah, like Shrigar said, I think it's not going to be extremely close. So our next game is going to be Cleveland, Baltimore. Anish, you going with the Browns?
Man, dude. You know, again, I watched the video today and I heard Jarvis Landry give a little bit of a speech. And dude, it got me so hyped. But then I remembered we have to play at Baltimore week one. Great. Just give us the hardest home opener. You know what? Just do that. So, dude, as much as you know what? If we had Earl Thomas for this game, I actually might have picked an upset because I think he would have been so motivated for it. But again, it's just this team got so much better. It's experience. They've kept their young core intact. We have a new head coach. Barring like Nick Chubb going insane or like Baker somehow turning into, I don't even know what to say, like 2013 Peyton Manning, I think the Ravens are going to win this one.
The last time I picked against Lamar Jackson, it didn't end up too great. So I'm going to pick
the Bengals.
He thought he had everyone just dead to rights with his amazing upset pick.
And I just wanted to flashback, guys. Maybe Jack can put it in there. But oh my God! I mean, I'm looking at this kid.
It's okay. We're not going to.
No.
I will find the clip. Don't worry.
We're not going to.
Don't worry.
Don't worry.
Hot take, I'm taking the Bengals.
No
way. I am taking the Bengals.
That's Ryan Finley.
Trap game.
No way.
Trap
no
game.
You can go
coming
to
off a short, they're on a short week, right?
Yep.
Trap game. I'm taking the Bengals.
No way.
Tickets
as low as $34.
Wow. I am taking the Bengals.
Is this dude really about to pick the Cincinnati
Bengals? But look, it's the Ravens. And since it's the Ravens, I had to bring that moment up. one of my least favorite moments on this podcast for sure, man. But I'm not picking against Lamar. Come on, I'm not going to pick against him.
Okay.
I won't deny
that.
Keep in
mind, this is one of two teams he's lost to, so I'm just saying.
Look, I don't doubt that the Browns are aiming for victory, but look, they haven't exactly done a great job at securing the W's in recent years.
Okay, but they're 1-1 against the Ravens the last 2 years.
Here's the thing. I will not deny they have the talent to make it to the playoffs, though. Because if Baker Mayfield can bounce back and Odo Beckham plays up to his potential, this Cleveland offense could be devastating. They've also got plenty of playmakers on the defensive side of the ball, so I'm not going to count them out either. With all that said, though, I just don't see them pulling off the upset in week one. The Ravens were already great a season ago, and I think they actually got a bit better this year. So I'm looking for them to start the year off right. Jackson's going to light it up.
Yeah, I think there'll be a lot of ground and pound from the Ravens as well. There's a lot of teams I think could run the ball very well this week. And I think that the Ravens are one of these teams. Obviously, we mentioned in the last episode the AFC North record predictions. The Browns defense could be a little bit suspect this year. And with linebacker problems running the ball, especially in the way that the Ravens do with versatility and diversity. It'll be very successful, I think, this week. So the Browns offense could try and keep up, but I think that the Ravens, I think they run away with this one a little bit. I'd say Ravens win by 10 points, Ravens win by 7 points, around there. I think it may be a closer score, but I'm not sure how close the game will be.
It could be a one possession game. I'm not predicting a blowout.
Yeah, again, also watch out for his passing attack. That's how he beat us last time.
True. It's just whichever one they decide to key in on.
We'll see, man. As much as I want to, I really do, but come on, it's at Baltimore.
No, I know the feeling. The next game, this is maybe my most exciting game of the week. It's Joe Burrow's rookie debut against a Chargers team that's also got some questions going into the season. They just lost Derwin James for a while. So does it swing it to the Bengals' favor for you guys?
Yeah, I actually think this could be one of the best games of week one. You wouldn't think so, considering how both of these clubs' 2019 seasons went. But look, a lot has changed since last year. So trust me when I say this one is definitely intriguing. First, you've got a LA Chargers squad with a new quarterback and an excellent defense, at least on paper. They've got plenty of options on offense to help Tyrod Taylor make plays. You look at Keenan Allen, Austin Eckler, Hunter Henry. I don't see this Cincinnati Bengals defense slowing them down at all for 60 minutes. But look, on the other side, we've got a Bengals team that has taken significant strides in the last few months. They've got their franchise quarterback in Joe Burrow, who is facing a big test in his first game against LA's tough secondary, even without Derwin James. He has weapons to work with, and the Cincinnati defense has improved from a season ago. Will it be enough, though? My prediction is that it won't. But the Bengals will certainly do their best to overcome their flaws. I think the Chargers hold them off despite a very late push, securing their first win of 2020 in a nail-biter. I'm going to say the Chargers win on a last-second field goal.
You know, it's very ironic with the Chargers. Just they always find a way to lose games at the last second. So I've also got the Chargers here. It's not even a knock on the – I'm sorry, Jared. It's just not even a knock on the Bengals. It's just this Chargers roster is going to be very hard for for Joe Burrow to overcome. I mean, you're going up against Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram, and this offensive line has looked decent but also a little bit bad. Can Jonah Williams contain one of those guys? First game, I don't know. He's basically a rookie in my eyes too. So I got the Chargers here. I'm not going to say it's a blowout or anything like that. I think the Bengals could easily cover the spread, but I'm going to go with the more talented roster here.
I think that I like the Chargers. I like the Chargers defense a lot, but I'm going with the Bengals simply off the fact that in recent years, we've seen rookie QBs making their debut have some pretty good success. Obviously, we look to Baker Mayfield coming in against the Jets, Sam Darnold starting off strong against the Lions, and they crushed him. I believe Lamar Jackson, his first appearance, won the game. His first real start, they won the game.
Yeah.
Last year, Daniel Jones wins in his first appearance. I think Joe Burrow wins in his first appearance this year, and I think Derwin James being out helps that a little bit, but just going off that pure fact that rookie QBs in their first appearance recently have been doing pretty well, I've got Joe Burrow beating this Los Angeles Chargers team in week one.
That's fair. I have nothing against that.
Could happen, man.
And I mean, this offense, he's got a lot of weapons still. So I don't think it's out of the picture or out of the question. And I'm going to pick Cincinnati in this one. I think it's kind of an unpopular pick, but I'm excited to see Joe Burrow in his first NFL game.
All right.
Yep. And he starts off that offensive rookie of the year campaign hot in week one. And then we look to, over the offseason, this is maybe the most looked forward to game of week one. It's Tampa Bay at New Orleans. After the Brady signing, everyone's looking like, ooh, he's playing Breeze and the Saints in week one. This is where we'll find out kind of straight quick who will be the leader in this division. So who do you guys got, New Orleans or Tampa Bay?
I'll go first. Look, I think people take things too far. Like, this week one won't decide the division. Just letting NFL fans know that. And this isn't going to decide if Tampa Bay loses. It's not going to say, oh, my God, the Brady experiment is already over. This is a good test, though. This is a great, great test. I think both offenses thrive in this game. But do expect some defensive plays. Again, the Bucs have great linebackers. The Saints do too. Expect a couple of interceptions or turnovers that lead to key points. And I'm going to take the Saints in this game just because, again, Buccaneers, I would have liked to see a preseason. How is the running back room going to hold up? Is Brady – this is another question. Is Brady going to be able to get the ball down the field to guys like Mike Evans, right? And last time we saw Evans against Lattimore, Lattimore completely shut him down. So – are we going to see that again? Are we going to see Chris Godwin go insane, right? How does it work? So I want to see that. I'm very excited because Brady really hasn't had two great receivers since, I would say, Wes Welker and Randy Moss. I think this is his best receiver group he's had. And obviously Gronk and O.J. Howard, two wild cards. I really don't know how it's going to go, but I'm going to take the Saints just because I think I get a little bit more bang for my buck on that bet.
Now, here's my take on the Buccaneers. Sure, they brought in some exciting pieces from around the league. You suddenly have the look of a legit contender, but that's on paper. Yes, Brady's presence helps, and he's got plenty of weapons to work with, but unfortunately, it's not always that simple. As for the Saints, they've got the look of a true contender. I think they're capable of making a deep playoff run. Drew Brees is still a top passer, and the New Orleans defense is just as dangerous as it was a season ago. You know, with Sean Payton still calling the shots, this is looking like a do or die season for the Saints, you know, because I think they're probably set to tear things down next offseason. So I think the stars may just be aligning. We get our first glimpse at the dream team Buccaneers failing to click in week one as the Saints get the hard-earned dub against the Bucs. I think Brady plays well, but it's not enough to overcome Breeze, Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas, and the rest of this New Orleans offense.
Yeah, I'm simply going to go with the Saints based off the reason I love the Saints this year. I had them going 13-3.
Always did.
I mean, I love the Saints this year. I think Tampa Bay will give them a run for their money. I do, and I think that Brady plays well. But I feel like Tampa Bay is the kind of team that they'll take a couple games to get going, and then they'll start to pick things up. So having that Week One test against New Orleans, I'm not sure they'll be completely ready for it, ready to take on a team of that caliber. So I've got New Orleans, but Tampa Bay. They'll show you things. They'll show you kind of what they might look like this season and expect a lot of improvement over the year from this kind of team.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Our next game, Shrikar, I know you said you were thinking about taking Arizona over your San Francisco 49ers. What'd you end up with?
Look, anything is possible in week one, like especially considering how 2020 has been, anything's possible. If there's a potential upset brewing on opening weekend, I wouldn't be surprised if it came between the Arizona Cardinals and San Francisco 49ers. Look, I'm still very confident in the 49ers offense. They're more than capable of putting points on the board. Jimmy Garoppolo is not overrated. And I think this running back group, it's not what it was a season ago, but look, Shanahan can make any running game good. And San Francisco, they lost a couple of key pieces on defense, but I don't think that's going to really hurt their cause in any way. As for Arizona, they could be a sneaky team to push for a playoff spot in 2020. You now have a ridiculous passing attack with Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins, Larry Fitzgerald, Christian Kirk. That could prove to be one of the league's best. On top of that, the Cardinals defense has more than enough talent to keep the Niners from going off. I think it should be a neck and neck battle between the two. You know, the 49ers had most of the close calls go their way last season, and I still think luck is on their side. I'm trusting the 49ers to get the win this week and move to 1-0.
Okay, so you're trusting the Niners?
Trusting the Niners.
I do too. I think, you know what, fine. Fred Warner's on just came off the COVID list. He's a little bit iffy. But again, this is a more experienced team. This is a more fundamentally developed team, right? Versus the Cardinals, there's a lot of questions. And I need to see it, right? Is Isaiah Simmons going to break out immediately and become a star? Is he going to take some time to develop? How's this secondary going to look? The Cardinals secondary was awful last year. And despite having big names such as Pat Pete and Buda Baker, wasn't as good as people thought. So let's see how it works. And again, X factor here is Deebo Samuel. I don't know if he'll play. I just had to shout out my guy there, but I don't know if he'll play. If I were him, I would miss week one, as much as I hate to say that. I think maybe get that foot completely right. But again, it's if anyone can come back and go crazy, it's that's my guy. It's him. So he's the X factor there. But again, I'm going to roll with the Niners just off the simple fact. I think this D-line will still get to Kyler Murray. And again, more experience. I'm leaning with that in week one. Obviously, that can change week two, but for now, I'm going with the more experienced teams.
Yeah, last year, it kind of learned not to pick against the Niners in certain games like this. Throughout the weeks, I mean, people thought like, oh, maybe the Niners won't be able to do it this week against the Saints. Yeah. Maybe the Niners won't be able to do it this week against the Seahawks. And they won some big games that, or even the Packers game. There were games where I thought, you know, maybe this is the place where they fall. I'm not going to do that as much this year. I'm going to trust the Niners until they fall and prove that they shouldn't be trusted. So I've got the Niners obviously coming off the Super Bowl loss. I feel like they may have a fire brewing inside them even more than they did last year. So I'm going to trust them until they prove me that I shouldn't. So I've got the Niners in this game. Now we're through Thursday night football and then Sunday day games onto Sunday night football. First game ever in SoFi Stadium. We've got the Rams hosting the Dallas Cowboys. What do you guys think about that game?
Man, I was tempted to go with the Rams a little bit. But I'm going to go with Dallas just because they do play well week one. And I'm going to go with Dallas over the simple fact that I think Zeke goes off just because there's no Dante Fowler. I don't think Aaron Donald can do as much as he would like. And while Cooper does probably get shadowed by Ramsey, again, CeeDee in the slot could be pretty lethal. So I'm going to go with the Cowboys here. Not much to talk about compared to last year. I mean, you know, both teams were a little bit disappointing, I think, fair to say. But I think the Cowboys pulled this out just over the simple fact their offense is, I think, too much to handle. And again, their defense is pretty underrated too. I don't trust Jared Goff. I just don't.
This was actually an easy pick to make for me. I'm going with the Cowboys. Sure, the Los Angeles Rams are far from a pushover. They've got a competent quarterback at times, strong receiver group. You got an above average defense. But even with Jalen Ramsey at cornerback, though, I just don't see the LA defense being able to keep all of the Cowboys receivers in check. In fact, this one could get ugly quickly. This could be a blowout. The Rams don't have a proven option on the ground, which means that Dallas pass rush, they're basically going to pin their eyes back and put the pressure on Jared Goff. When that happens, things generally don't go well for him. So I think the Cowboys, they're going to put on a clinic in this one offensively, due in large part to...
Good question, Shrikar. Who's going to stop Cooper Kupp?
Ouzier, probably.
Okay, you think he's going to shut him down?
Shut him down is a strong, it's a bold statement, but I think, mm-hmm. I think he'll make enough plays.
Okay.
But I think the offense is mainly going to be like the big factor of me picking the Cowboys because I don't know if the Rams offense is going to get things going on their end. It's not the way LA is hoping to break in SoFi Stadium, but I guess that's just how it is.
Yeah. I'm not going to go as far as to say blowout in this game, but yeah. I think I've got Dallas. I feel like these teams both match up well against each other in certain ways, but I think that, yeah, their offense, Dallas offense is to be too much. And I think that they'll, with the pass rush, will be able to kind of, they're going to limit the Rams offense. And while they do not have a corner that can probably shadow the likes of Cooper Kupp or Robert Woods, that pass rush is going to be able to make Jared Goff uncomfortable in the pocket. And that's how you stop the pass sometimes. Some teams don't have,
that's a good point. See,
some teams don't have great corners. Like the Chiefs last year, they didn't have tremendous corners, but the way that they were able to get after the quarterback at times, they were able to kind of fix that problem. I think the Seahawks are kind of the opposite. They've got a better secondary, and that makes up for the pass rush. There's ways to get it done, and some teams go about it in different ways. So I think that Dallas, with the pass rush, is able to kind of combat that problem that they have a little bit. So I've got Dallas winning in this one.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then moving on to Monday night, we actually have two games this week, one at 4:15, which is Pittsburgh versus New York, and we'll start with that one.
All right, I'll go first for this one. The big question is, can Big Ben get this franchise back to the playoffs in 2020? I'd say it seems likely, and it'll start with a win against the Giants on Monday night. With Roethlisberger back, I'd say the Pittsburgh offense becomes far more dynamic than it was a season ago. James Conner, he figures to do his thing on the ground. Steelers got Juju, Deontay Johnson, James Washington. I think that's going to make life easier for Big Ben. Oh, and then there's always the Pittsburgh defense, which always seems to get the best of subpar opposition, which is exactly what the Giants still are.
Subpar. A little harsh.
look, slowing down Saquon Barkley obviously won't be easy, but I'm still uncertain if Daniel Jones can turn this New York offense into one that's like really scary, if that makes sense. On top of that, the Giants defense just isn't there yet. It's still a work in progress, which is why the Steelers should take care of business in week one. I think it's still unclear what the future holds for Pittsburgh, but look, a win against the Giants, I'd say, is a step in the right direction.
Oh, dude, you guys have no idea. As much as I like the Giants and as much as I hate the Steelers,
yep.
I have to go with Pittsburgh here. And but you know what? Don't be surprised if this team puts up some points, okay? Like, I think they could. I really think so. As much as this defense is really good, I don't know. I have a feeling that this could be a – I feel like the Giants could drop at least 24 on them, maybe. I'm not going to say more. Yeah, I think they could. I really think so. Obviously, I think Pittsburgh will pull out a win. But, yeah, not much to say, man. I just think Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley will have good years this year. I just don't know if it'll result in wins just because of, again, their schedule. And I think the Steelers come out just, again, another thing. Better coach, right? Better offensive line. Better quarterback. And then, again, the defense. I'm going to go with the roster and the experience here.
Yeah, me too. I think this will be a low-scoring game, probably. I'm not sure any team scores 24. I think it'll be both teams under 24.
Probably happen. But
I mean, Pittsburgh offense. Pittsburgh offense doesn't wow me, but also I don't think that the New York offense can put up a ton against this stellar Pittsburgh defense. So I've got the Pittsburgh Steelers maybe squeaking out a little bit. I think it's probably a one possession game. I'm leaning towards more of a touchdown game, kind of maybe, I don't know, 21 to 14, 21 to 17 ish. 21 to 17.
It could be like a 21 to 16 type thing.
I'd say 21 to 14.
So yeah, I think it'll be a low-scoring game, and Pittsburgh comes out with it. And then this is one of the hardest games to pick on the week. I'd say probably the one that I've kind of flipped over the most. It's Tennessee at Denver. So Denver just lost Von Miller, which is going to be huge for them for the rest of the season. But also, it's week one, and teams that have to go into Mile High Stadium without kind of having to do a ton of high altitude play throughout the entire year, whereas the Broncos have been able to prepare the entire offseason up there. It makes it hard for teams. And if you guys don't mind me starting on this one, sure. I was originally leaning Tennessee, and then I started to think about it more, and I was like, maybe Denver could win this one because Tennessee will get gas, and I feel like they lack the explosiveness to kind of pick up and make up for that. But in the end, I'm going with my gut feeling. I changed my predictions too much last year. I'm going to stick with Tennessee. I think they beat Denver.
I think I'll go here. Same thing. I got Tennessee here. Again, I trust Tannehill more than the media. I trust Tannehill more than a lot of people. And I think even if they somehow contain Derrick Henry without Von Miller, if Chubb, let's say Chubb goes crazy in terms of run defense. Again, I trust Tannehill. I think, yeah, the Mile High thing is definitely something to factor in. But I think A.J. Brown has a really solid game against A.J. Boye. And I think, again, Casey could have a really good game, but I'm going to go with the Tennessee Titans just because it's tough for me to say because there's, again, Denver's also starting a lot of rookies, and I'm going with the team again with the core. That's, I think, my theme for this week, the teams that I believe in, the teams that have kept it the same, the teams that are going in more experience, and that is why I'm picking Tennessee.
Yep, I'm rolling with the Titans, a clean sweep to come out on top in this game. I just can't see the Broncos do enough on either side of the ball to overcome the Titans in the scoring department. You know, they face a very tall task keeping Derrick Henry in check without Von Miller now. And you also have to find a way for Drew Lock to put up significant points against this Titans defense. And this Titans defense is pretty good. And that's not to say Denver won't keep things interesting, but outscoring them just seems unlikely.
Yeah.
Especially after the signing of Jadeveon Clowney, I think I'm getting higher on Tennessee by the day. So their season starts in week one with an impressive win against a Broncos team. But I think this Broncos team will improve throughout the year.
Yeah, and a lot of our week one picks were based on kind of gut feelings and who we thought was a better team on paper.
Again, it's just experience too. I mean, this is a very weird season, and I'm going with basically, yeah, going with roster and going with experience. I'm trust what I trust.
Next week will change. We will see these teams play. This will be the first time we've seen these teams play. Some of them since before the playoffs, which is crazy. So we're basing this a lot on
our picks will be a lot different too. I think a lot of ours were really similar. So
yeah, we're basing this a lot on our predictions for the going into the year and our kind of gut feelings based on teams. We're gonna see these teams play. We're gonna get a feeling about what these teams will look like in this situation. And going into week two picks, things could look a lot different. We could be higher on some teams, lower on some teams, but we had a ton of fun recording this one, and we've got football, guys. It feels so good to say it. You guys, after watching this video, you get to go watch, Houston, Kansas City. We all think it's going to be a Kansas City win, but the timestamps, obviously, were in the description. They'll be in the description for every single picks episode that we do, just in case you want to try and find your game quickly. And also, we had a giveaway. We said that on our Instagram, so watch out for those in the future. But we said that each of these five members will get shouted out at the end of every episode. So we're going to put a graphic here. Go follow them. It'll either be their Instagrams or their Twitters, whichever one that they decide. We're going to do it for every episode we do of the 2020 NFL season. But it feels good to say.
Quick note, guys. Just stay tuned for more in-season content. I mean, we're just excited as you guys are. And obviously, with this podcast, it's just there's so much that we want to do. And basically share to you guys what our thoughts are, especially in a time like this. I don't think back in 2019 we could have anticipated a season like this. So we're excited to give you guys as much content as possible.
Yeah, and with support, you guys get more amazing content like this, and we're going to put out more videos the more you support them. So it's a win-win for you guys. And it feels good to say that this is our first video of this 2020 NFL season. There's going to be a lot more, and we're so excited. But enjoy football. Go put your feet up, watch the game. And then go to our Instagram to predict who you guys think will win these games. But thank you guys so much for watching. We're the Cold Hard Truth Podcast, and this is the 2020 NFL season. It feels so good to say that. But
yes,
thank you guys so much. We'll see you next time.